are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdown.
So before we get into this, do we want to watch the trailer?
Yeah, I watched it, but I guess you need to watch it.
Okay, cool. And then we can make that a separate video too. That usually people are like, ooh, live reaction.
Live reaction. Know? They want that from us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Michelle, you're back.
Yeah, I was never gone. I mean, I was completely gone. I was in a totally different place. I was across the hemisphere.
But you were never gone, like, emotionally, spiritually, you know. You were there
financially.
With me. Holding my hand.
Your hand. I was like, this is called taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I did a bunch of TikToks. I got massages. Mm-hmm. I got dicked down.
Oh, nice.
I ate all
from the masseuses, or?
Listen, it's like a different country.
Mm-hmm. Different laws.
There's different laws.
Different endings. Happier ones.
Some are happier. Yeah. But they call it aloha there. It's an aloha ending.
Right. Hello and goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ending and it's a beginning.
Right. It's like actually just a circle. Where does it end? When does it begin?
Exactly. Because of the refractory period.
Yeah. And that's sex in Hawaii, folks. Yeah.
Aloha.
And that's what you say when you come. Aloha.
Aloha.
Not I just got laid. Guys, no. Be somewhere real. Grow up.
Honor the culture. Say aloha to the same pronunciation or like the same emphasis that the Animaniacs say. Hello, no nurse. Aloha. So you had a good birthday?
Oh, yeah, I did. I turned 12.
12, yeah. The age of consent.
In
the Jewish faith. Oh, God, no. Oh, you can joke about it. I can't joke about that. No, but
it's actually not true. You become a woman in the Jewish faith, as we discussed last week, into your 50s.
Into your 50s, right, mm-hmm. as Meredith Marks has proved. So, yeah, so for your birthday slash Christmas day slash Hanukkah,
right.
I was like, I want to get Michelle a cameo from one of our favorite stars of the Bravoverse. So, you know, I did some looking on who's in my price range, and I was like, who would be best? I really, for a while, I debated, should we do Peggy 100, Peggy Solehan? From OC, or I was like, should we do Peggy Tanis from OC?
Should we do a Peggy?
She does. And ultimately, I regret not going Peggy. Ooh. I did, in fact, go for the star of season 7 through Sheena's monologues, Rob Valletta. And I don't want to say I was disappointed. He did call Michelle my name throughout the whole time, but that's almost camp.
Right.
And then he is kind of trying to do a Matthew McConaughey type rebrand, I think, was the vibe I was getting.
He's also in a very dark room.
Very dark. Dark club. Yeah.
You can't really make out what's happening. All you really see are his beautiful sparkling eyes and his big cowboy hat.
A lot of hat work, a lot of nodding off and on.
I was like, what am I watching? Is this Magic Mike? Because I was like, wait, did you ask him to wear a cowboy hat because we're from Texas?
No,
or was it just he made an artistic choice?
I think it was an artistic choice. I don't think I even mentioned that we were Dallas-based. I think it's like he's just kind of rebranding
He's like omnipresent, kind of like God. Like he's just everywhere. He just knows what's happening.
Yeah. Rob is watching. Yeah.
Rob is watching us from a distance.
Yeah, he did mention the hanging the TV in the 7 minutes, as I demanded. He did not mention Toca Madeira.
Oh, my God.
No, I did request that. But overall, it was like, you know, he definitely, I can tell he wants to put his own spin on it artistically. And I do appreciate his, like, passion for that. Like, you know what? I need to give this a certain
something. Je ne sais quoi. Yeah, yes. Robness. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd feel robbed.
Amen.
And now we said it. If I could have another Rob's Valletta, I think that's his Instagram. There's an S in there for some reason.
Oh, my God.
Rob's Valletta.
The plural.
Oh, maybe that's his middle name. Starts with an S. Anyway,
Rob S. We are the Rob's Valletta.
Well, Rob's Valletta.
Like Coles de Sac.
Yeah, Coles de Sac. I would want him to mention his Airbnb rules.
Yeah.
I would want him to mention how he doesn't tell women that he loves them. Mm-hmm. And even though they feel it. And then I would want him to mention.
Not liking kissing. Yeah.
And I would want him to call me Madison Marie Parks Valletta.
Oh, yeah. See, I think the thing with Rob that I've picked up on from his like post-show interviews is that he's still doing a lot of interviews about his time on VPR. And he's very like, I really did like Sheena. I got a bad edit. I didn't want to make her look stupid. I think trying to continue to nurture that relationship as they stay friends. So I see why he was reticent to really get into the hilarity of how badly he treated her in the edit. Because in his mind, he was like, he's always been like, I did love her. They, you know, screwed me.
I didn't say it. And I probably did cheat
I just
on
didn't
her.
Like kissing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, would he have a cameo without that show? Absolutely. There'd be no reason for him to.
And that's what I appreciate is that, you know, he's not going to throw her. He appreciates Sheena like we do.
Because as much as he's still talking about Sheena, she is still out there talking about famous people that she has previously betted. She just talked last week about Ryan Felipe. Felipe.
See, and, you know, he realizes we love that in a housewife. We love that in a Sheena. We don't like that so much in our, you know, VPR guest stars for them to brag about everyone they fucked or be mean about the women they fucked. So I think he's a class act, Rob.
He's a class act. Rob's Valletta. I could see why Sheena lost her mind for him. And this is a woman that we know has slept with John Mayer. We know that she has slept with Ryan Felipe.
It's one of those
we
where
know
it's
that
like
she slept with Renee Zellweger, Reese Witherspoon's ex-husband, one of her ex-husbands. So this is a woman who's, you know,
she's like surveyed she's run the gamut
of the elite.
The elite cock. Yeah.
The elite cock of Hollywood. So she knows.
She knows. She knows. She knows. Good taste. Other than
Brock.
Yeah. So, also I had a little assignment from Michelle. So after we learned about this recent news that Britney Spears lived in Brittany Murphy's house before she died.
Yeah.
And she said it was haunted. It was bad vibes. And it was a sick house.
Yeah.
Which led me to do some more investigating into Brittany Murphy's death because there's so much misinformation about it. And turns out it wasn't probably a cause of her death, but there was black mold in the house. It definitely wasn't like why she or her husband died within 5 months ago, but there was that. And it's like, so Brittany, she may have had sick house syndrome.
She knew.
Yeah. She knew.
So Brittany did not mention having pneumonia. Brittany Spears.
Yeah, when she was talking but you can't get pneumonia from black mold. You get like, you know, death by black mold is a big myth.
So, but anyway, what she said was that it was like poltergeist or something. She opened
a portal
to another world and she's not ever returned since.
And she called it the house is sick. She said it was a sick house.
It was a sick house. And she knows sickness.
She does. And I do think that like, you know, a couple of years exposure to black mold. I mean, I don't know if it was the drainage system or like also, you know, after Britney left, the windows were taped down a lot. So that could have caused the mold. So unsure when it's there. But I do think that like, I do think it's just more evidence that Britney is like, you know, she's intuitive, you know, trust her, you know, something was wrong with the house, possibly. And then also, did you know that now she lives in Ozzy Osbourne's old house?
Britney Spears?
Yes.
Okay, that's even weirder because, you know, Christina Aguilera bought the Osbourne's old house.
Okay, Britney might not still live there, but she lived there for a long time.
Aren't there more houses in this area?
Why is it like 20 people like, are passing off houses
I'm saying.
In
it's
the
like
hills?
Jennifer Lawrence used to live in Jessica Simpson's old house.
And then Katy Perry had to kick nuns out of a house. What is going on with housing there? It's so expensive that everybody's just got to like, you know,
are there
pass
three
them
houses?
Off to each other.
Yeah, everyone's like made out with each other in Hollywood and everyone's lived in the same house.
Yeah, which arguably dirtier.
Yeah, make it make sense.
Make it make sense.
You know, maybe because all of these other houses have portals to other worlds and, you know, people don't want to live there.
Yeah, too cursed.
It's too cursed.
Too cursed.
Anyway, the house is for sale, folks, if you want to buy the Brittany Murphy, Britney Spears sick house.
It's been redone. It's been demoed.
It's been demoed and rebuilt, and now it's $18 million. It can be yours.
Yep. And then what's the last thing? Oh, yeah. So then the last thing I wanted to get into is right before this episode, the Summer House trailer dropped. So I'm excited. I'm very optimistic about this new season. I think that the last season, best ever.
Yeah.
I know there's some fucking sickos who think that the first and second season were the only good season. It was all downhill from there. Having watched it from the beginning recently, I think you're a fucking sicko. Okay, so, alrighty, I just want to do a few thoughts. Gabby's back?
Wait, she is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was Gabby.
I've seen lots of themed parties, which, you know, I know are divisive for the fandom. I enjoy, and it's a good, like, you know, get pumped
but
up, good
just,
opening.
It's just what they do on this show.
It's just what they do, yeah. Okay, so we got these newbies. We've got this, she looks like Lala, young Lala, this new girl.
She does.
And Jesse, yeah, really needed to follow up on the goodwill of last season with getting serious about someone and not being a fuck boy.
I did like the part where he's just like, so I'm hearing rumors there could be a girl.
Yeah, like, oh, rumors?
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
On the call sheet?
Nastiness.
Yeah.
Oh, and she, look, oh, there she is just doing a photo shoot.
Yeah. I've heard rumors I have a girlfriend this season. Like, mm-hmm. And then the new guy, he seems very like
who's tan.
Yeah, but who's our favorite Italian?
Luigi Mangione.
Our second favorite from the show, Andrea. He seems very like an Andrea inspired pick if Andrea was like a fuckboy. And I really think Andrea, if he hadn't like you know, fallen in love with his model wife,
right,
would have been just like such a great addition to the show. It just didn't line up like that.
Yeah,
this is gonna be amazing. They remind me a lot, this new cast, they are like, or like this new, like, you know, configuration of people. It's giving me Salt Lake City in that there's like everyone knows their role and they are like any beef that happens off camera, they know be legitimately mad about that.
Yeah.
Like this whole, you know, like Kyle and Craig, yeah, you know, spritzer thing easily, yeah, you know, other casts not on their A game would have thrown that aside, or it would have been like one like little passive aggressive mm-hmm. fight that it's half hearted. They addressed mm-hmm. at the beginning of the season. This seems like it's going to be like,
yeah,
everyone fucking pissed at Kyle, yeah, all season long for, yeah, being a baby bitch. And it's, yeah, like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
They get it, dude. They
and
get
this
it.
This man is in his 40s.
Mm. And I'm glad that everyone, yeah, is going to make fun of him. Because
Lindsay announces she's pregnant.
Yeah, so exciting. And exciting that it seems like she finds a legit reason to continue to make Carl look like an asshole, which is like her passion. And she needs that during pregnancy as something to, like, you know, to soothe. Her hormones are going crazy.
Right.
We really want her to focus that punishment on Carl.
On
you
Carl,
know?
Who has been sober and hasn't had sex in a whole year. His ex-fiance, who's pregnant with another man's child, should really lash out at him.
Should really
all of their friends in their shared home.
And you know what I really want? I want all of these like fucking people who were these fans who were so mean to Carl, even though that was like Carl's big fear and why he was such an asshole last season, is he's like, God, I can't be with her. She's an alcoholic, but if I break up with her, I'm gonna look like such a fucking asshole and everyone's gonna hate me.
Right.
And so he like tiptoed and tried to get the evidence that like maybe they weren't right together. He's a sober guy, she's not sober anymore. And then that made everyone hate, yeah, him so much more. Now I want everyone, when she continues to, right, go after him, to eat shit. Eat shit. Like, they are both part of the problem.
Right.
They are not healthy together. Neither of them should be on the show with each other, especially with everything they have going on. But God, do I love to watch it.
We love it. And we are still blocked by Carl.
We're still blocked. Oh, yeah. He'll remain an enemy of the pod.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody hating him was too much.
Right.
See, Wes didn't do that much. Like, he wasn't like as horrible as, you know, other people are on shows. But still, he's fun to hate.
He didn't propose to anyone on the show.
Well, Wes is fun to hate, I think, though, because it's like,
yeah,
it's so easy to project. Like, it was like, oh, he came in pretending to be like, and you know, these guys who are like, who have like the, do you remember Bob Khosravi from comedy?
Where oh my God, like, yeah.
He had a bit about like, I have a gettable face. Like where every girl is kind of like, oh, I could probably like pull him.
Yeah.
Like Wes pulled the gettable face and mm-hmm. then he's actually a total fuckboy,
yeah,
who uses being like gettable or, you know, like making women think that they're out of his league but like him
mm-hmm.
to lead them on and like fuck a lot of women. Which, like, and he got so caught, and it's so fun to see that blow up for him, you know? I think. But again, no, don't send hate to anyone. You know,
No, you fucking psychos.
Just get on Reddit like normal people.
Yeah, get on Reddit and do it anonymously, weirdos. Because weirdos. Also, if you're not doing it anonymously, apparently it's going to end up in the news.
What
be
do you
careful.
Mean?
Goodreads, Luigi.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that puts some fear into people who are sending death threats.
Mm-hmm. To Carl.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Although that girl, I mean, obviously he has been dating that, the same way, you know, like it's all predetermined.
The lemur girl. Was giving me Joe.
Really?
We didn't finish the trailer.
Oh, sorry.
There's a big reveal at the end.
I was thinking she seemed so normal. To me,
even though she said that she likes lemurs,
yeah,
that's
but
what
I
think normal she, is to you at this point in your TV viewing.
I think she seems like a normal, like 26-year-old girl who has a marketing job in Manhattan, who like you know has been talking with Carl on the apps and probably is like you know not a heavy drinker, and they just are on the same wavelength right now.
Carl hasn't had sex in a year, so she's pretty fucking boring.
Yeah. Mm. Well, wait, they have. Isn't he? They haven't had sex.
He says on the show, "I haven't had sex in a year."
But I mean, we could have done like hand stuff.
Oh, wow,
that was a twist.
This is like M. Night
Surprised
Shyamalan. M. Night Shyamalan put together this trailer for Summer House.
Oof. I mean, what are they going to do with Tom Schwartz? What are they going to do with Sandoval?
Okay,
they're just going to throw them into different
first
shows.
Okay. We need to do something with Sandoval at this point, and I don't even like the guy, but I was on Reddit. Apparently, he was on Instagram Live again, but it was at like 6 a.m, and he was chain smoking cigarettes and slamming beers, and he was by himself, and he was talking about how Victoria has made a huge mistake.
This is like what I've been saying. You know, this is what I've been saying. I know it's not popular. It doesn't, you know, I still
this
think
is
he's
what Kristen was saying to us 20 years ago and we didn't listen.
Exactly. Like, I still think he's, you know, obviously he's a dipshit, but like he has a real problem. And yeah. I think that was part
he
of the reason that he cheated. It doesn't make it okay. But I think it was like, Ariana doesn't want to do drugs with me anymore. So I'm going to do a bunch of like X with Rachel and fuck her. Like, it doesn't make it any more acceptable.
Because,
because
she went and got, Rachel went to treatment for a while, and she's, I think, still sober. So, like, I applaud that. I don't applaud a lot of her decisions before, but
and
whatever.
After,
I don't,
you know,
it doesn't really matter. I mean, but I will say, like, good for her recognizing that issue in her life and getting sober and staying sober. And
can I say something? I think that that's part of why VPR fell apart is that Scandoval and Victoria are in no place to film. I think that Schwartz, he's like a more functional alcoholic. And I do think his new girlfriend is more of a stabilizing presence, like, because she's using him for clout and she's 24 and she's probably like, you need to keep your shit together, you know. But like, and then between that and James relapsing,
oh my god,
like that was like James relapsed and you know, like had with the DV report, mm-hmm. you know, that was like a week after they announced they weren't renewing. I think it was like, you know, it's just a fucking mess.
These
like it's gonna be a TLC show, like I always said. Like if I think it would be like a dramatic season, but it would be like a life ruining. Imagine if cameras were up for all of that. Well, I mean, you know, it's a show, but it's a TLC type show, not a, you know, VPR type show.
Well, I don't know. We got to do something. Well, we don't have to do anything, but
they need help.
They need help. Well, yeah.
Bravo Celebrity Rehab. And then they want to keep giving these guys jobs. What?
It's just so dark at this point.
It's dark. It's like, honestly, it's sad. It's such a fitting ending to Vanderpump Rules, which is like such a cautionary tale of, it's Mulholland Drive. Like I always said, it's like you come to Hollywood with bright eyes, big dreams, end up being a waiter. And then like, you know, oh, you finally do have your big break being a, you know, a drunk person who fucks all your friends. But then what happens when the fame goes away?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as dark as it's darker than it would be if they never even got the fame at all. It's a true Hollywood story.
Yeah, which I miss that show.
Me too. Mm. Christina Gibson, bring back E! True Hollywood Story, please.
True Hollywood Story. I don't want to have to like look on Reddit for information. I need it done.
Oh, that's Behind the Music. Bring that back too.
Yeah, bring that back.
Lauren Zelaznik, creator of or greenlighter of Behind the Music.
Bring back literally anything. I can't watch any TV, although I am watching a show right now.
Oh, which show?
That's not reality, by the way. Black Doves or something. It's pretty good. It's very good, actually. Mm. It's a British crime drama. It's on Netflix with Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley.
Mm. She's back, mm-hmm. and she's a spy. And she murders people.
Oh, wow. Her triumphant return of being a spy from Domino.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that movie, Domino. And did you just see that thing that she said about Love, actually?
That she was 17 years old and she had a big zit on her forehead. And so they put a hat on her.
Oh, no, not that part. No, I've known that she was 17 in that for a long time. So she did an interview.
I thought
she was 17. So they had to redo that. The most like famous scene. Okay, I want to go on the record. I have always hated this movie. Okay, every year Jason wants to watch this at Christmas time. And every year I tell him no.
Me too.
And every year
I tell Jason no every year. Me too.
Somebody has to. Hashtag me too. But like the scene where it's like the most famous scene where she's like opens the door and the guy's got the fucking signs and he's like, to me, you're perfect.
No, as an 11-year-old, I was like, this is the most fucked up thing I've ever seen because 9/11 won't happen until next year.
Yeah, so they
had to keep
reviewing the scene because the director was like, you keep looking like your face is making expressions like you're creeped out. And she's like, I am kind of creeped out by this. And he goes, well, you're supposed to not make that face.
But I'm a child.
Yeah.
And even if I weren't, this is
I'm a
emotional blackmail.
My husband's in this living room where I live with him. And then like his best friend has a poster card, like what, like poster board with like, I love you written on it. I always hated that movie. I don't want to watch that type of movie ever. I don't need like 45 storylines going on all of the time. I can barely keep up, you guys.
I like the vignettes. I just wish that like three of them weren't like such.
And we wronged this girl.
Yeah. I wish like four of the storylines weren't like incredibly creepy.
It should have been all Bill Nye. Like,
All Bill Nye and then the porn actors and then Laura Linney, but she gets a happy ending. Not like, Laura Linney, she has to choose between having a brother who's schizophrenic and getting dick down. And you can only have one if you're a woman. I'm like, what kind of message does that send to people with schizophrenic brothers who are horny?
Right.
Do that to Laura Linney. My God.
Yeah, like
treasure.
They need to be dick down more than anybody.
It's stressful. It's stressful that he calls her in the middle of the night and she's worried.
And it's a stressful
delusions.
Time of year.
It
she's
is.
Already stressed all year. Let her have some dick on Christmas, even if she has a brother who's not well. Because maybe she's not well, bitch. And maybe she wants a dick, too.
And now we've said it.
And we don't have to just keep creeping out a 17-year-old Keira Knightley.
Yeah. I'm good for her. Good for her for speaking out.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's like a pretty popular stance to be like, Love Actually kind of problematic, but I'm still glad. I'm still proud of her. Good job.
I'm proud of her and I'm proud of me for publicly speaking on my always just, I don't like the movie.
See, what surprises me about this, I always thought you were a fan just because you love Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas so much.
I didn't think that carried over to enjoying any movie where it's sung. It didn't Mariah Carey over to me.
Okay.
Because I don't need to see a child who's, by the way, going to America, like the whole fucking ending to that movie is just like, okay,
a mess.
Your mom is dead, which it's a lot.
That's a lot. And then it's like they're never clear, but it seems like it's his stepdad raising him.
Like
they don't even say it's the stepdad.
All of the women in his life leave him this child.
Yeah.
Oops. No one talks about it.
Yeah. Now that I'm older, watching it again, it's like there's always new things that I'm upset about when I watch it.
Right.
But yeah, what upsets me now is that Liam Neeson.
Also, him running through the airport, like, is this a post-9 world?
It was pre-9. Yeah.
I don't like it. It doesn't feel safe.
But it's still, it's another
triggering.
Thing that really
it's
doesn't
very,
hold
it's
up.
Triggering
yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. But it's that Liam Neeson is the stepdad to this
right.
kid. And it's just like, it's never like, oh, this is, you know, I married your mom.
Right.
You know, it's never real. It's just implied. You gather
Where's
from the kid not liking
dad?
Him eventually.
Yeah.
Where's his real dad? Did his dad die? Why wouldn't he go to his dad? Like, there's so many plot holes.
And you know that, like, Liam Neeson's real wife is dead, too.
That's dark now. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's very Brittany Murphy house, this movie. It's
yes.
very sick.
Extreme. It's giving me sick house syndrome.
Yeah. And you know what? When I watch it, I go to a portal and I feel like I can't escape from it.
Yeah. And I'm going to sell my house
I'm gonna
if
sell
I ever have to
house.
Watch it again.
If I have to watch that fucking movie again. It is not a good movie. How is this a good Christmas movie? Guys, get so for real about this.
Get so for real. But I think everyone agrees with us too. I think we're like preaching to the choir.
Guys, get some real about this.
This movie that everyone criticized.
Even the star. Yes.
Okay. Let's take a break. And then when we get back, we'll talk about the Puerto Vallarta trip for Salt Lake City.
These girls are having a break.
Okay, so we're back. So first we have Angie kind of like deadpan recapping, as well as Meredith deadpan recapping the events of the epic bat mitzvah and their falling out and Angie being banished. Angie really had followed up last episode with another all-timer episode. She cracked my shit up from beginning to end this episode. And honestly, even though last episode I think was more like iconic,
right,
I think this was a stronger episode overall, right. But yeah, she was like, well, I don't even know why I was invited. I guess Heather's plastic surgeon was there, so it was just everyone was invited. and the deadpan to camera, she goes, I haven't stopped crying since Meredith's event.
Oh my god.
She's not crying at all, not upset. Cuts to her like talking about the event, also not crying.
I haven't stopped crying. All of these women have like such similar voice, like Angie K, Meredith, Lisa Barlow. There's only like slight differences.
Yeah. That like that flat Salt Lake City effect. Yeah. Just no
Vita tequila.
No inflection.
Yeah.
And Meredith is mad because when Angie was like, well, I guess you can't hear me, she was like, you mocked my disability. And then Brooke said, it's not a disability, it's a superpower. So then, okay, we have to talk about this. We have to talk about this scene because even though it's like one of the most intense scenes we've ever seen on Bravo, it's also made so funny by Angie. I'm so sorry to this man. But so like Mary comes in to Angie's house early.
I'm sorry to this man.
And she's just like sitting on the couch, like she just walks in, just sits on the couch waiting for Angie. And then Angie's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh yeah.
Wait, what?
Her house is like, her Angie K's house is like, it's so stark. Like, it's crazy.
I thought that they were in her hair salon. That's like, how like white and like entryway opening it was. I was like, are they in the salon? And the way there's a bar, like it's set up like the receptionist area of a salon.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, or like a plastic surgeon's office in Miami.
Yes, it's very clinical, like, very clean, cold.
Yeah.
So Angie brings in charcuterie and Mary's like, it's like so lovingly, it's painstakingly beautiful. Prepared. And Mary's like, oh, I'm not going to eat that.
But it looks good.
And then Angie's like, okay, well, one thing, will you help me with the champagne? And Mary's like, no, I can't help you with that. And it flashes back to a week before where they both still couldn't open champagne. It's like, why wouldn't you prep the
Mary not knowing how to open champagne when it's literally the only drink.
All she drinks is Dom. She doesn't drink water.
She doesn't drink anything else but champagne. She knows all of the worst facts about it.
Yeah.
But can't open it.
Yeah. It was very like comedic, like Lucy and Ethel, like how many housewives does it take to unscrew a champagne cork? Kind of like real comedy to set up this very dark emotional moment where Mary shares about Robert Jr.'s drug addiction to Angie, who understands because her mom went through something similar. Right. Mary's like, he did heroin. It started with Xanax and acid. And Angie's reaction, face doesn't move, hand goes to chest. No words, no like, no active listening, just
no hand on the shoulder,
no hand, just to the chest. And then and then, you know, Mary's like crying, and then Angie, like, instead of nodding and smiling, she just smiles vacantly. I was like, is Mary
Mary's
just,
like
the most insane reaction I've ever seen.
It's crazy because Mary's like, you know, he told me things like, weeping like he, you know, he was doing heroin, he told me he felt like a stain, that he didn't want to be here. I mean, just like really
heavy
insane.
Shit.
And then, you know, Angie's like, it's not your fault.
Yeah, just like completely like.
Yeah, because Mary's like, where did I fail him? You know, and Angie's like, it's not your fault. If my mom taught me anything, there's nothing you could have done.
Yeah. But luckily, it's like, it was not, because like, I think anyone else, and that would have, I would have really, really preferred a more active listener. But Mary's so kind of like, you know, in her own world anyway, she's needed to let it out that she didn't even notice Angie, like, you know, Robo Angie, like, shutting down, like, you know, buffering back up again.
But that was, man,
it was crazy, dude. It was, yeah. So everything that's great about Housewives.
Yeah, no, they got something going on there. I don't want to watch a heavy scene like that without feeling some sort of lightness.
Yes,
and
yes.
Not just like the lightness of being in Angie's house, which is so white. Bright.
Yeah, like the gates of heaven. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's what it looks like.
Heaven's waiting room, yeah.
Why do you turn the lights off in here? It's so crazy.
Yeah, no wonder Mary's at home because it's a godly place.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what we're seeing Angie bring this season, that's kind of making her, honestly, she's going to be by Andy at the reunion. And right, I get it, because
she sent her snowflake for a reason.
She is Lisa Barlow level funny this season.
She's so good.
She's cracking me up.
I can't think of another housewife that went from friend of to main cast and who has been this funny. Like, I guess you could say sort of maybe Brandy, but Brandy was so dark that I don't know if I could put her in the same category, because Angie's really, really funny, even when things are very heavy and dark. And I don't feel like, yet, at least what I've seen of Angie, I don't think she's gonna
crash and burn.
Well, the below the belt stuff doesn't feel dark sided.
It doesn't feel like there's going to be several Bravo lawsuits because of Angie's behavior anything.
And I don't think that she's gonna develop a parasite in her face that Dr. Terry Dubrow has to fix.
Right. I don't get that vibe at all. She's never gonna develop any, her face is never gonna move again. It's beautiful, motionless Egyptian death mask, like forever.
If I'm in a parasite, I'm not going near that face.
No,
Greek face.
That Greek face. No, no, no. Yeah, it's like a Greek, beautiful Greek tragedy mask. Like
Greek god.
Greek gold.
Greek goddess.
So then everyone's packing for Puerto Vallarta. They do show us, my God, Meredith's horrific pube bikini, where it's like faux gray furs, right on top of the pussy, and then like, mm-hmm. you know, gray nipple hair furs on the top. It's like, it's not even like Barbarella, it's like a fucking merkin. I was like, what the fuck, you guys? It's a choice.
It's a choice.
So then they all meet up at the airport. And this is really, it was just a really funny top to bottom episode. Everyone meets up and then Bronwyn comes in and she's been mauled. She's like, got bites and bruises everywhere.
Cujo has been in Salt Lake City. And if anybody gets that reference, call me.
Yeah, call me. We'll do a Stephen King book club, baby.
Yeah, does anybody get the Cujo reference?
So she's like, yeah, she's like being her like perky, nervous Bronwyn self, where she's like, yeah, just a dog went after me and I had to get 10 stitches and I ripped the stitches out.
And my husband didn't believe that it was like a big deal, and he just thought it was a cut and that it wasn't going to be a big deal. And then my daughter had to FaceTime him and he was like, oh, that does look kind of serious.
Yeah. And everyone's just like, okay.
Yeah, I know. It's like, okay. Like, everyone's already, like, what people have gone through emotionally at this point is so intense.
Yes.
And we're not even on the plane.
Right. And then I think what is starting to bug me about Bronwyn is I feel like that's how I am, like, she's like so obsessed with social positioning, which I don't relate to, but like how she just like needs to get in there and like say everything she has to say, and like she's got to get it all out and everybody's got to fucking listen and all this stuff. And then everyone's like, whoa.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I just feel like it's like a drive-by.
Yes. She's very like drive-by. Yeah. Yeah. Which like I relate to and I don't like to see it.
And if you don't see eye to eye with her, she will kill you.
She will kill you. Oh yeah, she is picking a lot of fights.
She'll go Cujo on your ass.
She'll go Cujo. Yeah, she'll rabid. Okay, so then they get off the plane and they're on the bus to the Puerto Vallarta villa. Heather admits that she peed all over the floor in the airplane because she didn't want to sit on the seat. So Michelle, I want to ask you about this. Two things. First of all,
she's doing anything to keep her job, anything to have a moment this season. Heather's doing it all.
I know. It's like Heather's like, she's not really getting in fights with anyone but like, you know, Bronwyn. Like,
yeah,
you know,
about
just
her husband. Yeah, she's making Bronwyn's marriage about her.
About her somehow. Yeah. Yes. Or, and then like protecting Lisa. But other than that, she's been really out of the mix, other than to be like, to stay relatable. She's like, and I diarrheaed all over my white pants and I pissed on the floor and I shat and vomited like every like episode or two. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're one of us.
Why would you? Yeah. This is not man of the people type of behavior.
Yeah. Like, just, I don't know. For me, I'm like, I'd rather just sit on the seat. Like, if it's gross, I'll put the toilet paper.
I'm
going down.
There's not.
But I'd rather not pee on myself.
There's not a situation where I'd rather pee on myself.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
There's not a situation I'll tell you the last time I peed on myself as an adult. I was at, what was that place, that bar in Austin? Something Shots or?
Headshots? Not Headshots. Mugshots.
Mugshots.
Yeah, I was at Mugshots. Bob Kosaravi.
I was at Mugshots. I was talking to Adam Shoemate.
Yep.
And I was hammered. Like, basically, I would have been blackout drunk, except I remember talking to him and smoking a cigarette and being like, I have to pee, but I want to finish this cigarette and this story. But then I just started to pee on myself.
Hmm.
But he did. I never called attention to it.
That's a long time. That's like you haven't peed in like 14 years. Yourself.
Yeah, I just had to be. I was really drunk. But I just remember being like, oh, well, I guess I'm peeing on myself. And then when I left the bar, I threw up in front of a cop on 6th Street. But
oh,
he
shit.
Didn't.
But they're used. They don't care if you're not driving.
He was fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the last time I peed, oh my God. Well, we got to cut this from the episode. But it was, it was like when I came back to comedy in Dallas and I was like, you know, I kind of being pushed out and like, really, I shouldn't have been doing stand-up comedy anymore. I was like so clearly over it. Mm-hmm. And I was like a bar show and I had like a meltdown on stage.
Oh.
Like where it's like after that booker had been like, I don't book like female comics. And then I still have to teach and like all of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I like, you know, literally was spiraling like that, like I need to quit comedy. You know, and then that night I got really drunk with and I pissed and got my period in bed. The double tripler.
He's fine with that.
I mean, you know, it just sucks because they'd just gotten like a really nice mattress and they just flipped it. But and then was like, did you guys fuck? I was like, no, she pissed and got her period all at once. She was like, I just have a feeling. Was she like marking her territory?
Yeah. Like Cujo.
Yeah. I went rabid. Anyway, we'll probably cut that though.
How many times did you talk about Cujo?
Not enough. Oh, Cujo. It's like,
yeah,
it's a period.
He's part of like the collective unconscious.
Yeah. Okay, so back to Salt Lake City. So Lisa is describing her like mastermind. Lisa's confessionals of like planning this trip are all so camp. Like she's so she's like, she's usually never in on the joke, and
so
she's
funny.
Very in on the joke during it, which is like, it's nice to see another side of her where she's like, I'm the Whitney mastermind.
Yeah,
I put Lisa doesn't her, like though. Her and yeah. I don't like Whitney, and then doesn't like
me. The PowerPoint was so good.
Yeah, it was great. But Bronwyn doesn't appreciate this. She's pissed that she's in the villa with Whitney and
right.
Angie, who she perceives to be like the lower tier.
The lower
wives,
level.
The lower level, which like,
girl,
I mean, I guess.
You got here and a dog.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. The dog biting you didn't humble you.
Like, yeah. Like, stay humble. Stay humble, Bronwyn.
But she's like trying to argue that's why she needed a bigger room, because she's been through so much physically.
She's just doing the most.
She's doing
way
too much.
Too much. But, I don't think she has been happy once on this show.
No, but like I would be like so over her if it wasn't for it seems like it's building to it. Definitely seems like we're building to Bronwyn Todd. Divorce
God,
sometime
so,
in the next year.
Because there's
and
no prenup.
Yeah. And yeah, she's going to be, and then I think she'll have more of a laid back Sutton energy after she's like a very lovely woman.
That eye makeup, which is just so terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, the confessional one is, yeah, very
Why
like
is the eyeliner this
rainbow
way?
Bright.
It, yeah. Well, it's like, I don't know. There's like shapes happening.
Yeah. It's a little, you know. It's a little like a straight like pop star, up and coming pop star, or straight like actress who no one knows judging on Drag Race, and then they do like a you know, like they do their own like crazy like, you know, paint by numbers eyeliner, and they're like, I'm so slay,
yeah, like
work it, ladies.
No,
it's
I
very
mean
bad.
Like, yeah, no, it's like, you know, we need it to be more like when last season when Lisa Barlow had her makeup team do like her definition of what drag makeup was, which is her regular.
Her same makeup. Yeah. 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 Like, and again, like the hair and makeup don't bother me as much as like she's just like manic
costume.
Right now. And it seems it's really coming off as to caring too much what the audience
thinks. Yeah.
Because it's like we all rooted for her with Heather we were all rooting for her because it really seemed like Heather, you know, it's like we're onto her now that she just gives a fuck what the audience thinks. And we're like, okay, it'll be nice to have someone who cares less, but who's also self-aware. Because we've got some stars in, you know, Angie and Lisa, but they're like, you know, they're in their own world. They're the type of housewives we talk about where it's like, this is just who they are. They wake up like this every day.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, good to have like a narrator character, but it's like, you can't come in like Bethany in season 10. Mm-mm. You need to come in like Bethany in season 1. Right. You know?
Poor.
And just like being more normal. You know, it's just too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So then, she's also pissed because she's still upset about her, you know, daughter Lisa. Talking to the grandparents. And actually, we'd flash back to a scene. God, the scene was another really sad scene that was comedic and just like how little time we spent with it. And then just like Lisa's reaction and flashing forward where it's like Bronwyn being like, I don't know if I should contact them or what's best for her. And John's like, well, I was actually adopted. And Lisa, you know, she made it her mission for years. She tracked down my birth parents. We finally found my mom. And it was the opposite of what I expected. My mom said, yep, I gave you up and I never thought about you a day since. And then Bronwyn's like, but you don't regret it, right? And he goes, no, I regret it. And then Lisa is just like not listening and just smiling at both of them with a shit-eating grin. Housewives.
She's always got pageant face.
Yeah.
Unless she's calling one of her attorneys. That's the only time the mask drops.
Yes. Yeah. Or if she's having a hot mic moment.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Whitney and Angie agree that Bronwyn's getting punished. And they had an interesting perspective on the camp day episode, which I didn't really understand. I was just like, Bronwyn's like fucking going nuts.
Yeah.
It's that they're like, oh no, she was throwing us under the bus because she'd been mean to Heather and Lisa, but because they're more well-liked, she didn't want to burn that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So she threw us under the bus to try to like make amends and seem closer to them. And that's how she's burned bridges with everyone. And now she's spiraling. And I was like, oh, okay. That was very helpful context. Yeah. Great editing this season. Great editing. I also think like Lisa does admit she's pissed and it's about like Bronwyn wanting to bring gifts, like, and Bronwyn always picking fights with her. But really, I think a big reason that Lisa is pissed, I think she's really just still pissed about the coach flight. I think that's like 80% of it. Like, am I crazy?
No.
I really think that, like...
Well, this is a side conversation, but about the... Maybe Lisa doesn't have the money that I think Lisa says that she has.
Oh, I definitely think that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So then...
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
And I think a lot of, like, the show, you know, I think that's one of the things I like about Lisa is she kind of plays the show more like a man does. Talk like a woman. Think like a man. Where it's like showing how successful she is. She's very like using it to like create a mythos around herself.
Right. That's why I think the coach thing pissed her off so much. Because it was like, I don't want to be seen in coach. I've got this like fake sort of reputation to
Right. help. And I love like, you know, a scammer like that, you know? And I love, love like when Lisa is like the pettiest person. Mm-hmm. Like that's my favorite. Lisa is like the holding on to that dumb shit like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And speaking of petty, Angie, we find out that Angie gave Meredith shampoo and conditioner from her salon, which is like a plug as her bat mitzvah gift, but then it has sulfate in it.
And Meredith cannot have sulfates in her hair.
Because she had a keratin treatment, which is very like Legally Blonde detective work, which is like kind of who Meredith is as an attorney, I feel like. Man. Where it's like busted sulfate.
Keratin is getting so much press these days.
I know. Yeah, this is like the third episode they've talked about it. But it was very like, but this is how I know you don't care about me because of the sodium thioglycolate.
You know? And then Angie doing the unthinkable with those bottles.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's get to the dinner, which was so good. Okay.
How hammered was Whitney at this dinner? She was so drunk, didn't say anything. They were just like, you would just see her in the background just trying to make sense of everything happening.
Yeah, her eyes are like going back. Well, I don't know. When she's drunk, she really gets in there. The fact that she and Heather were so quiet.
Oh, do you think that they were like, God, this show's going to go on without us?
I think that maybe they were like, there's just so much going on. Like, I feel like they, especially the two of them, fully plan out their whole scenes and storylines every day.
Well, she was really hammered. She looked very drunk.
But yeah, but when she's drunk, that's usually when she's talking the most and the slowest.
Mm.
But maybe Heather was kind of like, down,
shut
girl.
Shut the fuck up, yeah.
So then they go to the bar and they get Vita margaritas. And
which,
Brittany,
there's no way in hell that resort had Vita tequila. Oh, no.
Well, she probably gifted it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Vita. I don't know.
I don't think it exists anymore.
I don't think it's real. Yeah.
I don't think it's real.
So then Brittany has an announcement. I don't get why people don't like. She was so funny. Okay. So she has an announcement. It's so funny. She's like, you guys all know how my daughters aren't talking to me because I continue to put men above them, right? Well, one of my daughters, Olivia, came over and spent the night last night.
That's not a big thing. Like, it's like,
and it also makes you look like such a shitty mom. Like they're being nice by not addressing it.
Yeah.
But then she's so like genuinely clueless that she's like,
I'm a great, look at this progress.
This is huge for me, guys. Mm-hmm. My daughters were forced to disown me because I keep fucking Osmonds. And now my 13-year-old deigned to hang out with me again. What? This is big. So she's like, she's on another planet, dude.
Crazy times. Yeah, I know.
So then I think her words were, dude, ouch. Anyway, ooh. Bronwyn again. Now she like, you know, confronts Lisa. She was surprised she wasn't in the villa because she got dog attacked. and then like everyone pretty much, you know, spells it out and is like, you know, she thinks she's there with the B team. And then you, even though Brittany sucks, you put her like in, you know, the cool girl's
right.
house because you deliberately wanted to drive me and Whitney crazy by being like, yep, the person who's definitely not getting asked back gets to hang out and get all the camera time with us and you guys have to be in the villa. And then Brittany like gets in the middle of the fight to like really double down and is like, and I was so happy to be there. Bronwyn's just still angry. She's still just like keep snapping at Lisa. It doesn't look good, honestly.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe like, is she coming off of pain pills or something from this dog attack?
Yeah, it could be. Maybe she's rabid.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that joke is going to get made next episode. I promise you that.
Oh my God. If they bring up Cujo,
they're going to bring up Cujo. Yeah. Meredith. My money's on Meredith bringing up Cujo.
She'll bring up Cujo. She'll be like, it's my favorite movie.
My three favorite movies, Pet Sematary 2, Pet Sematary 1, Cujo.
Cujo. Yeah. She likes all the Stephen King animal themes.
Number four, the Tommyknocker.
She hates both all of the its.
All of the its. Not Animalia enough. But Lisa has been, you know, this was actually like a good comeback, I feel like. Usually she gives us the funny stuff, but she was like Bronwyn's like, I wanted your company. I wanted your time. I wanted to be with you. And Lisa's like, other than sleeping or taking a shit, you are with me. I was like, that's good. And it like really makes Bronwyn look ridiculous when Bronwyn has the being smarter advantage. So,
yeah.
Okay. And then Meredith was like, this is a perfect time to make this about Meredith. Mm-hmm. And she returns the shampoo and conditioner to Angie in a Brooks Marks bag. It's so good. And then they're like, you know, Angie's mad about the whole slut shaming thing. And then they go back. It's so funny that apparently this is what their fight is like every time. Like they flashes back to all of the Angie and Meredith's fights. And it's like, is that what I said? Is it not what you said? I was told that's what you said. Did you not say that? Is that what you said? And Lisa finally goes nuts. She's like, people just talk. Just talk it normal.
This is a Lisa Barlow trip.
It's just so funny. They're both like the masters of like, they're both way too careful about their words to like,
it's wild.
Just like, did you?
I don't think, no one said anything. Somebody say something.
Yes, yeah. But they both like know that like anything they accidentally step in.
They're both so serious. And they're both so serious. Like, you said, is that what you say? It's like, whoa, like how are they not laughing at this?
I know. It's like a grand inquisition.
It's so crazy.
So then Brittany jumps in again. I like that Brittany's getting in there. She is getting torn apart like Bronwyn with a dog. I'm just throwing her body to the wolves.
We're throwing her to Cujo.
Yeah. So Brittany, she jumps in and she's like, well, I'm the reason that Angie got kicked out because she was, you know, she was like shaming me and slut shaming my hair. And Angie's like, that's when she throws the shampoo at her and is like, well, your hair's fucking fried. Take it. And then immediately she knows she's gone too far. And they're like, everyone's like, whoa. Even Lisa's like, whoa.
And then bottles. These are not the travel size bottles.
They're huge. And Angie's like, I didn't realize the bag was upside down. Immediately like pulls back. It's like, okay, we all saw what happened. You know, she's like, no, I didn't mean to.
Oh my God. Even before, was this when the waiter comes in? Is like, your table?
Yes,
ready?
This is the next part. So it's like, so then Brittany is like really trying to like hammer into like Angie that she's bad. They still haven't eaten. They're like, also they're drinking espresso martinis along with their Vita tequila margaritas, which I'm guessing maybe Vita isn't very good. Don't sue me, Lisa, because everyone has a side like espresso martini. Yes. So then Brittany's like, here's all the things you said to me. You said I had slutty titties. And then the waiter comes up and goes, buenas noches, señoritas. What can I get for you? And they just all continue to ignore him, except for Heather, who's like, ah. And she's like, you said I had porn star tits. You said I had slutty hair, porn star ass hair. And then Meredith's like, finally, enough. We gotta like fucking order. And finally they order. The waiter, but I love the waiters.
Taylor, like, I'm strong enough.
Enough. Like, I don't know if they cut it to seem like the waiter kept trying to get in there, but I love him just like continuing to be like, we do things a little different around here. If you want to order from the start, like doing his whole spiel, like while that she's yelling, porn star titty. So good. So good.
Oh my God.
The show is so good. It's so good. So then we kind of really do some good detectiving. A lot of it is caused by Bronwyn doing too much. So good on her this time.
Right.
Where she's like, Bronwyn's like, actually, when it came to the bat mitzvah, that Brittany started with the slut attacks. She was like, she was like, probably Angie calls me a slut because she and, you know, Sean are fucking three guys or whatever. And then we know that she was like, Angie's the one who started it, period. But Brittany's the one who brought it into the holy day, which is a big deal to them. And then Angie also, in her defense, is like, also, let's not insult porn stars
right
now. I didn't say anything about your tits being porn stars, sex workers, or I'm like, that's where she draws the line after being, you're slut, high fatty count hair, but sex work is real.
It's real work.
She's a treasure.
This is a real man of the people type of thing to do, not the pissing on yourself on
not
a plane.
The pissing, yeah, on purpose. So then, or even claiming it, like probably, I feel like Heather wasn't the one who pissed everywhere, but
yeah,
she was like, I did me.
Yeah,
like
I'm normal. You have to clean that plane before it boards again.
Yeah, it's
disgusting.
Faux populism. So then Heather like finally weighs in too, like where they're like, you know, because like Brittany's like, you started it because you kept accusing me of like fucking all these guys, and Angie's like, you are fucking these guys, like and then Heather's like, you just don't want anyone to know because you're Mormon, but like you showed us like crotchless lingerie that Jared Osmond got you, like of course we're going to assume you're and you're adults and you left your kids, we're assuming you're at least like having sex if like you're getting good enough dick to leave your kids, you're leaving your kids just to make out with an Osmond,
right? You're not like, even making out with Joseph Smith.
Yeah, girl, like get it together
for real.
I love it though. And then Bronwyn says, nobody's bought me crotchless panties that isn't fucking me.
Whoa.
And then Heather is a voice of the people when she says, nobody's ever bought me crotchless panties. Because I do think that is relatable. Like,
I think that's such a weird thing. Like, it just screams, give me a yeast infection.
Yeah, dude. And like, uncomfortable.
It's not breathable in the right way.
No. Yeah, girl. Like, I don't like not... Fine. Now, well, not, I used to be able to, when I was a youth, no underwear, no problem.
Right.
Now I'm old and disgusting.
No, you can't do that. I feel like the girls who are wearing crotchless panties are the same girls who are buying Summer's Eve.
Yeah, but that's not good for your,
No, that's what I'm saying. They're making bad decisions.
They're making bad decisions
for
their pH. Yeah. And then you get into the yeast infection and then bacterial vaginosis.
Right.
And that's a back and forth we all know
we
just lasts forever
that.
Until you die. Yeah.
Right.
So then Meredith actually, to her credit, knows it's the end of the scene, apologizes that she got triggered and didn't know the full story.
Yeah.
Angie apologizes and they agree not to fight anymore.
Right.
And I was like, this was, even though bat mitzvah was like an all-timer in terms of like high body count hair and Mary peeping in, this was just, I think, the best episode of the season.
It was so
like the arc. It was just so perfect and great instincts, Meredith, to finally put a capper on that fight. Meredith's done for the season. That's a wrap on Meredith, you guys. She's just going to kind of hang out the rest of the time.
Yeah.
She clocked in, she clocked out. And I'm so excited for what we see next, which they're teasing, which is that Todd cheated on Bronwyn.
Oh my God.
Maybe I was wrong. Maybe there's some life in that old, oh my Todd. Some life in the old Gipper yet.
The old man yet. Yeah. So that's really exciting. I mean, not for Bronwyn, but for us.
I really think that for Bronwyn to maintain the fan support she's getting, she needs, and also like the network support, they came in so gung-ho on her. And then these past few episodes, it's like, I would never have thought she would be third chair at the reunion.
You know, well, that, but also like she's had the longest confessional times out of everybody by a lot.
And that's really not where I want them to use her.
It's crazy. You know?
We really need like a compelling personal storyline from her. That's where she wants to be, but you can't do that and also
yeah, that
be
just like,
and then also be stirring the pot. You have to like be, she wants all of the plots in all of her scenes to be about her. And it's like, you, if you want to mm-hmm. be the narrator, you have to listen and be the sounding board and let other people do their work. Like, I get why people are pissed at her now, because it's like, she's not letting anyone do their storyline. She's starting storylines with everyone.
Well, and it's like, even the one, and I understand that it's sensitive with her daughter, you know, and their grandparents, but like Lisa does have a connection there because her friends are the grandparents, you know, and it's like, her, Bronwyn and Todd are like, I will slit this woman's throat if she brings it up. And it's like,
yeah. Yeah. It's like you expect her to, yeah. It's like she's putting so many like parameters on things. And she's just
like acting like Kyle Richards. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but like where it's
better
like
than Kyle, but she's like,
where it's like anything sets her off, you know, like,
okay, so she's not Kyle because Kyle just cries.
Yeah. Kyle. Yeah. But she's like, she's just like, she's just being a scene hog.
Yeah.
Like, instead of, like, doing any nurturing relationships, she's coming in so hot and creating feuds so that she's the main person in the episode
every
time.
Yeah, I'm like, who's your friend on this show right now?
She, like, needs to take a little breath. Needs to take a little breath. But honestly, I think it's better for her season two that she is making these mistakes in season one. It's almost like she sped everything up. And then I think season two, she'll learn from her mistakes. I do think she fits really well.
Well, we need her to bring something funny to the table or something, you know, because like all of these women, even when they're not trying to be, are very, very funny.
Yeah.
That's how we can watch a lot of this nonsense, because it's funny.
But then Heather is, I mean, I guess like she's kind of, I think that's our problem with her this season, is that she's not really funny anymore.
Yeah, she's not funny.
And then, but if Bronwyn, I don't think Bronwyn's a funny person is my thing.
Yeah, that's the problem. Well, figure it out. You need to figure out how to be like Tamara or something.
She and Heather, I think instead of trying to destroy each other, they need to team up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And take some improv classes. They need to go to Groundlings.
Yeah, yeah. Because like the Bronwyn, you know, I'm getting like, I'm the funny one of my friends. And that's not going to cut it here. When you're up next to Lisa Barlow and Angie, two of the funniest housewives who are on TV right now.
You got Brittany coming in.
Brittany, hilarious, underrated.
Mary.
Guys come around on her. She's
Mary,
so funny.
You know what? I've always thought Mary is pretty funny.
Mary's very, I mean, that's why Mary, you know, skits away with so much
with
disturbing behavior. Yeah. Like,
no, she's given
very
us
funny.
Some of the best lines of the show. You smell like hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, they gotta figure out how to, and I think their friendship, if they're the two normal ones, if they're Jill and Bethany, then they were funny together. Like they need to genuinely, you know, team up.
Yeah. Cause I was like, well, Tamara had Vicky for a long time, or Tamara had Shannon, and that's when she was really good. Now she's you know,
they need to like, and also we're not getting a ton of that on the show right now, is like just chicks having fun. And if Bronwyn needs to be able to cut loose and like be able to drink and, you know, party with Heather.
Exactly.
And then
it's like, okay, if you're going to be dressed like a hot dog.
Yeah. Be funny. Don't take yourself so seriously.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And she really started like witty. I think she like, you know, like the, I'm on my third nose job. She's very like self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. I just think that she's had like these Salt Lake girls, they're the most dedicated servants of Bravo, up there with OC, and they, you know, fight hard and fast. And so I think Bronwyn's just on an accelerated timeline, and I hope she brings it in season two. I've got high hopes for her, but right now, bad episode. Okay, well, that's it. Are we going to do a episode next week about the, should we do one this weekend about the Salt Lake City episode after? I mean, we can't release one. But
I mean, it's like,
it's Christmas.
We're taking the ADHD route with our podcast right now, which is recapping a episode that's come out a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's what the people want.
It's what the people want. Everyone's going to be genuinely confused. Yeah, listening to it tomorrow, they'll think it's the episode from last night.
Right. But the ADHD girlies who are always behind will know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, they'll relate.
They'll relate. And they'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, again, like we ask you to reach out, you know, like if you want more lessons in the new year, like I still think like our OC, especially OC season,
give us some sort of direction.
But like OC season 7, OC season 6, that's some of our strongest work. If you want to go back and re-listen, and if you want more of that, tell us. We have a lot more guests coming up. And then, just let us know, baby. And now it's the end of the episode and it's time for our oral exam. It's a 1 minute topic on a pop culture happening of your choice. Michelle Baber, are you ready?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Okay, this is Michelle Baber's oral exam. Her time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that I have nothing planned, but I will talk about this. So I've been talking about Cujo this entire fucking episode. One, it's an okay movie. Two, I actually read Stephen King's On Writing. Did you ever read On Writing?
I love On Writing.
Yeah. So he talks about Cujo, writing Cujo, where his addiction was so bad. His addiction to alcohol and cocaine was so bad, he doesn't even remember ever writing Cujo. But he ended up, after he read it, when he got sober, he liked the book. It's the only part of On Writing I actually remember. None of the other stuff really stuck with me. And you can tell by my writing that I only remembered Cujo.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, every part of your, like, essays, they start out, like, you know, normal and analysis, and then suddenly a dog comes out of nowhere, and then...
A rabid dog. A beastly dog. And not to be confused with Hound of the Baskervilles, folks. Right. I know that we easily, in literature, these are the two dogs that we talk about.
And look, yeah, inside you are two dogs. We always say that. And then we know that there's big Baskerville heads, and we know there's big Cujo heads. We're not trying to fight with any, you know, we support.
Yeah, literatis.
Yeah, please, we don't want to make this a dog fight. We support both. We see the good in both. Like, yeah. Don't pet bad bitches against each other.
Don't pull two
bad. Two bad bitches. Okay. All right. I have one, but it's Survivor, and I know it's going
to
bum you out.
How many times do you have to talk about CBS?
Look, I'm in a dark place. There's a lot of stuff going on in my life.
There's so many things. You won't stop talking CBS to me.
Well, remember last time that I was in a dark place? I watched even the European seasons of The Traitors.
I know.
Even the non-English
people. I will let this go. I will let you speak. I've let her speak, but I'm not watching it.
Okay. Well, then good, because in this essay, I will prove these. So tonight is the finale part 2 of Survivor. And here are my predictions.
Oh, my God.
We'll see if it'll happen. Turn it off if you're going to watch the season later and you don't know what's going on or you're behind. Okay. So I believe, like everyone else, I believe Rachel will win. I believe Sue will win the final 4 immunity, and that she will send Teenie and Sam to fire. I believe Teenie will lose. I believe that Sam will have a really good FTC because he's a theater kid, but everyone is way more impressed with Rachel's game overall. I think that, bless you, will get 2 to 3 even votes.
What is happening?
Because we've built him up so much as like a threat, but we haven't seen why he's a threat. So they don't want you to think he's going to win. Rachel's definitely going to win, but they want you to think, oh, it was competitive. So it's somewhat surprising. And we get why he got those 2 votes. And then I think Rachel gets 5 to 6 votes and she wins the end.
I really didn't like that.
I know. I'm sorry.
You know what it feels like listening to you do that? It feels like, okay, are you doing like sports analysis all of a sudden? Where they're like, I think the Cowboys are going to win by 3 points.
Blah, honestly, blah. It's a little like sports for dorks.
Not for dorks.
Strategy shows is sports for dorks.
I don't know. I just feel sick about it.
Look, I'm sick too. That's why I'm about to, you know, start season 12, because if I don't have Survivor on in the background... I feel scared. And
what
bad.
Season? Wait.
Survivor.
Wait, have you been going back and watching all of the seasons?
And guess what? There's 47.
What is this? Go watch Doctor Who or something if you need to do something like this.
No, it's better to watch competitive reality TV. There's something it's my special interest. It calms me in times of crisis.
When did you ever watch competitive reality TV?
Well, I got sucked in. Well, I started with RuPaul's Drag Race and the pandemic, which reminded me a lot of comedy. And then I got into The Challenge with Cam, and that was kind of like my gateway into strategic reality shows, because it engages your brain. brain more. And it's like reality TV, which, you know, I'm obsessed with, but you get to guess about the future. So you don't have to stay in the present, which the present is kind of where the bad thoughts live, the feelings live, or the past where all the bad stuff happened. No. The future and focused on what's going to happen in a show. Nice, safe place. Not super invested. I have the people I'm rooting for. Nice, ideal distraction. Am I right, folks? Tell me if I'm right, students.
I need you to stop watching CBS soon because like I know what's happening and it's going to be like you're going to start watching sitcoms on there. I'm going to flip out. If you have to start watching Chuck Lorre, I'm going to lose my mind.
No, if anything, I'm going to pirate all of Traders Australia next. Or not, I've already seen Traders Australia. We interviewed Simone Williams. Check it out. Oh no, I'm going to watch all of Survivor Australia, which is supposed to be very good. And I'm really excited.
Oh my God, I have to poop.
All right, I got to pee. All right, we love you guys. Bye.